To enjoy spiritual power and spiritual victory, you need spiritual resources, not human prescriptions.
Dr. Tony Evans says we need to decide to have faith, real faith.
Your choice to trust God or not to trust God is a choice. It got nothing to do with how you feel. This has to do with deciding whether he's worthy to be trusted.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Most of us know God has the power to deliver us, but when we're caught in a difficult situation or circumstance, we sometimes wonder if he'll actually do it. Well, today, Dr. Evans talks about how we can develop the faith we need to feel confident. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9 as he begins.
How do I deal with the bondages in my life? The things for which I desperately desire to be delivered. That is the question. To appreciate where I'm going, the first thing I want you to understand is the concept involved of a mountain. Verse 20 says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be moved, and it will move. The concept of a mountain means a difficulty you can't climb over. He's not talking about a literal mountain here. He's talking about a mountain symbolically. That is, a situation in your life where you are stuck. The reason he uses the word mountain is because of the context in which this story is found. Jesus has just taken Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. On this mountain, chapter 17, verse 1, a high mountain it's called, he was, verse 2, transfigured before them. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Elijah and Moses showed up from the Old Testament. Peter, James, and John are there from the New Testament. So you got the whole Word of God. Represented at the Son of God being supervised by the Father at this glorious mountain meeting. When they descended the mountain and came down, they discovered there were other mountains. You know what that's like, to come to a worship service on Sunday morning and have a mountaintop experience, only to leave church and hit the valley of despair. Because you run into mountains you can't handle. Whatever your mountain is fundamentally controlled by your mind. And so he says, what Satan does is he builds mountains or fortresses or strongholds by blocking off the access to divine power. Just so you don't feel too bad, let me show you an illustration of a Christian, the greatest Christian that ever lived, who had such a stronghold. Romans 7, Paul the apostle had a point in his life where he struggled with a mountain. He does not say what the mountain was, but he does describe the struggle. He says in verse 18 of Romans 7, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Do I have a witness? He says, it's not that I don't want to do right. He says, for some reason, I don't seem to be able to. He goes on and he says, for the good that I wish, my motives are good, I do not do. In fact, I practice the very thing that I do not wish. The bad news is, that's a mountain. The good news is, Paul's a witness. He's been there. Verse 23, I have two different things working in me. I have a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind. I got this conflict. A mountain is being locked in to a situation that you don't want to be in. Now, if you're locked in it because you want to be in it, that's rebellion. But I'm talking about a situation you know is wrong, don't want to be a part of it, but don't seem to be able to shake it or be delivered from it. That's a mountain. That's a stronghold, and it is to you I speak today. That was the situation in Matthew 17. We have a young man here who has been brought to the Lord, verse 15. Mark tells us he couldn't speak. Mark tells us he couldn't hear. Mark tells us that he would foam at the mouth. He would go into convulsions. And let me tell you, proof positive when you know you got a mountain. You've got a mountain, one, when you want to get rid of it but can't. Verse 16. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. Even folk can't help you. It's a mountain when you go to the folk who's supposed to be able to help you and they can't help you. The folk who had all God all over them couldn't help me either. That's a mountain. A mountain is when you've tried everything you've had. You've gone to every 12-step program in the city, tried the psychic line, you read the horoscope, you've called on the pastoral staff, you've tried the righteous and the unrighteous, and nothing works. Secondly, the confusion about mountains. Part of the problem was that they were looking at the external activity of the boy to determine the diagnosis of the problem. Anybody throwing himself in the fire, they had fires all over Israel out in the open, and he'd just see a fire and go dive into it. He'd find a puddle of water and jump into it. Anytime you do that, you're going to have scars. If you jump in the fire, you're going to have burns on your body. So he's been scarred up from his mountain. Anybody got any scars from your mountain? Scars, because you've been cut up by the situations you are in. And as far as everybody else was concerned, when they saw that boy coming, they would have simply registered him as crazy. But from the text, we discover that the things he was doing on the outside was because of a spiritual problem he had on the inside. This boy was demon-possessed. Jesus, in a moment, is going to have to cast out the demon. We'll see that in a moment. He's going to have to, verse 18, rebuke him, and the demon is going to come out. Now watch this. His external activity was due to an internal problem. And my point about your mountain is simply this. If we're going to move the visible mountain of your fruit, we're going to have to get down to the invisible mountain of your root. Many of us have been trying to chop down mountains that are seen without addressing underground what is not seen. And if you try to fix a big mountain that you see and don't know that underneath the ground is the foundation of that mountain, then what you're doing is messing with the fruit when your problem's at the root. They were confused about the diagnosis. The disciples were confused. Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So they're confused. The father is confused because he doesn't really understand what the real problem is. The son is confused because he's in the problem, you know, doesn't know what's going on because he's not always acting all there. The disciples were confused because they were the ones who've been ordained by God to be able to cast out demons, and they can't get rid of the problem. You find out in Mark chapter 9, the people are confused because they thought the disciples should have been able to cast out the problem. So everybody's confused about the mountain. And mountains can get quite confusing. Why does this thing have me like it does? Now, let me correct something here. First of all, I want you to know that you can have physical problems. And if you have a physical problem, then you need a doctor. But in this story, this mountain was due to a spiritual root that had to be addressed. The disciples were embarrassed. They're saying, "Come out, nothing happening. Change, nothing's happening." And that helped me to find out the disciples couldn't do it, because that let me know I'm not supposed to be able to fix everything. And you'll see why in a moment. So that leads us to, there was confusion about what the diagnosis really was. You know, many times you can have things wrong on the outside because there's something that needs fixing on the inside. And if you have a mountain as we've defined it, you must diagnose the spiritual cause if you're going to fix its external expression. If you have an addiction, that is the symptom, not the problem. You don't have a sex addiction problem. You have a sex addiction fruit that is indicative of a spiritually demented root. If you have a drug problem, you have a drug problem symptom, not a drug problem essence. If you can't put down a cigarette, that's a symptom. What we got to do is get beneath the ground to find out what Satan is stirring up on the inside. that's producing the inability, the partition that keeps God from getting through to turning things around on the outside. And when I studied this, I said, that's it. People are spending their lives to fix the outside, not having diagnosed properly the inside, so they don't fix the inside, so they struggle forever with the outside. Look at what Jesus says in verse 17. Oh, unbelieving and perverted generation. That's not what you'd call a compliment. How long will I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Or to put it in ordinary English, I'm tired of you folks. How do you think Christ feels about us when he sees our powerlessness due to lack of faith? Verse 20, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now that's deep. He says, if you have enough faith, you'll talk to the difficulty in your life, mountain, and the mountain will move. Did you just hear that? Now, I didn't make that up. That's what verse 20 says. He says, if you didn't have little faith, then you would be able to say to this mountain, get out of here. Say to this addiction, go away. Say to this inability to control my tongue, shut up. Say to this mind I can't control, think straight. And the mountain, the difficulty, will submit. Now, that just seems a little bit too good to be true, that I can just tell it what to do and it'll do it. He says the problem is related to little faith. Now, that raises the question, what is little faith? How do I know if I have little faith versus great faith? I have people tell me all the time, I have faith in God, but nothing's working. Well, maybe you have little faith. How do I know if it's little or if it's great? Well, let me tell you the difference between little faith and great faith. When you have little faith, the lie of Satan is more believable than the truth of God. You see, great faith sets no limit on what God can do. Little faith is the kind of faith you have when you've put enough other things in place so that if God doesn't come through, you're going to be okay anyway. That's little faith. Little faith means, God, I need you and I trust you, but if you mess up, I just want you to know I'm still covered. I have gotten enough other things situated that if you don't supply it, I'm still going to be okay. So I'm going to trust you, but I don't really need you. Great faith is when you are trusting God and the very opposite to what you are trusting him occurs, and you still trust him. Great faith was like the disciples on the water. Jesus said, let us go to the other side, but it rained and the boat was sinking. Great faith lays down on a cushion when the boat is sinking because it believes that when God said, let us go to the other side, you're still going to get to the other side. Great faith is faith that operates when the opposite to what you are trusting God for occurs. That's great faith.
Dr. Evans will tell us how great faith can grow from just a very tiny seed when he returns in a moment with more of this message from his series, Living Above the Circumstances. This 15-message compilation explains how we can experience blessings and joy regardless of the obstacles we may be facing. And right now, for a limited time, this entire 2-volume set is yours as our gift on CD or digital download when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. In addition to this powerful collection of messages, we'll also say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Evans' popular best-selling booklet called Let It Go. This easy-to-read guide can help you or a struggling friend learn how to let go of the past, live in the present, and trust God for the future. So don't miss out. Visit TonyEvans.org today, where you can find all the details to take advantage of this special double offer. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you a little later on, after part 2 of today's lesson, and this.
The only
reason you are what you are and you have what you have is the goodness and grace of God. So walk humbly with your God.
That's right. You can't do the talk unless you do the walk. Join Dr. Tony Evans's Kindness in the Culture campaign to be the change for good our culture needs right now. It goes like this. Request your bundle of kindness cards. Then make a commitment to do one act of kindness each week for another person. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind. Change culture. Churches and groups can request customizable kindness cards with your name and logo. See details online.
Now, he then tells us something that has led to a lot of confusion, perhaps even in this room. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall be able to say to this mountain, get out of here. Say to this drugs, leave me alone. And the mountain will move. Now that's what the Bible says. And either you're going to believe the Bible or you're going to believe your experience, your circumstance, your feelings, or your situation. Question is, what you're going to believe? You say, well, wait a minute. I have mustard seed faith. A mustard seed is only a tiny little seed. It is. It is the smallest seed of garden plants. There is no smaller seed in Jesus' day than the size of a mustard seed. So you say, well, wait a minute. And even Jesus says they had little faith because he says, because of your little faith. A mustard seed is a little seed. So he condemns them because they have little faith and then tells them, but all they need is little faith in order to move a mountain. We don't have a contradiction. What we have is a misunderstanding of mustard seed. Turn to chapter 13. Hold your finger here. Verse 31, and he presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When a man took and sowed in his field, and this is the smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. Now watch it. A mustard seed is very, very tiny. But that's not Jesus' point. Here's Jesus' point. When you take a teensy, weensy, eensy bit mustard seed, plant that bad boy in the right soil, its external shell splits. Inside the mustard seed are little tiny miniature seeds that's even smaller than the mustard seed. But guess what happens underneath the ground? When the external breaks and opens up, the internal expresses itself. And you're going to find out not only can you grow and not only are you a 15-foot Christian, but other folk can rest on your life too. That's how strong you are. And it comes by fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer says, I have no human option available. Fasting and prayer says that when you control what you eat, you move in the strength of that decision. Listen to me. When you say no to food and your stomach is hungry, now let me tell you, some of you probably did this, so let me clarify this right now. You did not fast during our solemn assembly if you ate enough at lunch so that you didn't feel hungry at dinner. That is not a fast. If you don't feel it, you didn't fast it. You didn't fast from television if you put it in the VCR so you could look at it after the fast was over. Because you really didn't sacrifice it. Fasting has to do with going through the pain of the body because you're trying to crack the shell so that there can be the freedom of the spirit. It is going through the agony. Of course your stomach is hurting when you're fasting. Of course your stomach is upset. But fasting says that I am going to wrestle through and deny you. Now, in order to deny your body dinner, whatever it happened to be, what you had to do was weaken the flesh. See, the flesh gets weaker because the flesh is hungry. But when the flesh becomes weak, it gives the opportunity when feeding the soul for the spirit to become stronger. You see, we don't express our spirits because we're so into satisfying our flesh that the spirit is not free to become a mustard plant. But once you begin denying and fasting the craving of the body, what you do is get in the position where you are telling the flesh what it can do and what it cannot do. Flesh, you are not eating dinner today. Flesh, you are not being satisfied with television today. Flesh, you're going to do what you are not free to. You're not going to do what you used to be free to do, because I right now am telling you no. Now watch this. God is saying, when you can say no to food, you are saying no to the flesh. Any other addiction you have is an addiction of the flesh. So once you get used to telling the flesh it can't have everything it wants to have, whenever it wants to have it, you just now have to shift that from food to drugs, food to sex, food to lying, food to cussing, food to anything else, because you're moving in the strength of your decision. You are wrestling for the control of your life. And the choice to go against that force that enslaves you. Because you can control the physical, you now have been freed up to control the spiritual. Some of you are fasting for difficulties in your life, and you want to know, Pastor, how long do I fast? Hey, you get a breakthrough. Okay? You do a meal a week, or a day a month, or 3 days a month. Depends on how bad off you are. If it's bad enough, you'll fast hard enough. Okay? I'm going to share with the singles. We have a sermon we're going to do, fasting for your mate. There's a story in the Bible of a man looking for a mate. And he thinks he's found her. He says, I think that's the one. And he goes to a house, sits down at the table to talk to the girl's father. The father brings out some food. And the man says, I cannot eat till this matter is resolved. He put away food till he found the right wife. You fast so you get a breakthrough. James 4 says, when you humble yourself before God, he gives greater grace. He gives greater strength, greater power. Fasting and prayer is like a person using a sledgehammer against a concrete wall. You take the sledgehammer and you go, wham! It doesn't move. Wham! 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 But after hitting it long enough, you're going to see a hairline splinter. There's a little hairline running through it. Once you see the hairline, you got it. See? First time you try this, it's going to be maybe a miserable experience. Maybe tough for you this week. That's because you haven't hit it in years. But you come against that thing and you hit that thing every Wednesday night. I'm going to fast. Or every third Friday morning, instead of eating breakfast, I'm going to spend that time in fasting and prayer. And I'm going to hit the sledgehammer against the mountain of my life. Nothing may happen the first week. Nothing may happen the second week. But after a while, you're going to see the hairline crack. And when you see the hairline crack, that means it's going to become a spider web a little later of cracks all over it. And all of a sudden, you're going to find it chipping. And when you discover it chipping because you keep coming against it, you're going to find the wall begins to shake down and break down until you can cross the partition to the other side. You keep at it because the demons are going to resist. This also tells us one thing about the disciples. They said, why couldn't we solve this problem for this man? Jesus said, because some things come by fasting and prayer. They were depending on what happened in Matthew 10 when he gave them power over demons to cover Matthew 17. And last week's power is only good last week. If you need God this week, go to him in sacrifice and humility this week.
Dr. Tony Evans, exploring the connection between giving up what we want and getting what we need, in a lesson he calls Fasting for Deliverance. Now, that's the title to ask about if you'd like to hear the full-length version of today's message on either CD or instantly downloadable MP3. Better yet, get it as a part of Dr. Evans' current 2-volume, 15-message teaching compilation, Living Above the Circumstances. If you contact us before time runs out, the entire collection is yours as our gift of thanks in return for your contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, we'll also send you the bonus booklet I mentioned earlier called Let It Go. Just visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. That's TonyEvans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open day and night, 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. Even though we can't control the future or even see the future, that doesn't stop us from worrying about it. But that's a habit we can stop, And tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us how to do just that. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.